So many devotees are here that I had no idea were coming here. Nice to see you all. We're very, very fortunate to be in this very sacred place. There are lots of things that when you go out on the street, it doesn't look very sacred. It looks quite down and dirty. Like Vrindavan, the external. Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses this in Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya. The question is raised, why is it when we go to the holy dhamma we can't see Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and the Chintamani stones and the spiritual realm? This is the spiritual realm. Why we can't see? And the response is given, nice, very simple metaphor, like oil that's placed on water. What happens when you put water on oil? They don't mix. The oil spreads. Very thin film across the surface of the water, and so when you look at the surface of the water, you don't see the water. You see the oil covering the water. Similarly, when we come to the holy dhamma, we can see the veneer, the covering, but the reason for coming is not the veneer. The reason for coming is what's beneath. Just like the soul. The soul is animating matter. Without souls, matter doesn't move. Without the touch of spirit, matter doesn't move. So to come to a holy place, Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, or any holy place, one has to desire and use the proper medium to go beneath the surface, and that medium is submissive hearing from this descending system of knowledge. And by that system, one can, if taken up properly, one can enter into the glories of the holy dhamma. That's what we've come here for. So we certainly need to see beyond the covering. Just yesterday, I arranged for a barber to shave my head. It was nice. Probably the best, because he did it twice, went backwards. While he was doing, he said, "What sampradaya are you from?" Barber. I said, "Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya." He said, "Your own sampradaya?" I said, "That's not sampradaya. Lord Brahma. And from Lord Brahma, Madhvacharya. And from Madhvacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Said, "I go to Mayapur Dham every year for Gaur Purnima. Near ISKCON Center." He knew, he just wanted to. And now when I was a young boy, your Srila Prabhupada, he came here to Puri. And I saw him and I recognized him as a person worthy of taking shelter. Dham Vasi, barber. So, who knows what his sadhana is, but he was disclosing what his heart is. And it's not easy for a barber to get enough head shapes together to go to Mayapur for Gaur Purnima. But he says he goes every year to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace on that sacred day. And so combined with that deep appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's, from his purity, his pure message, from his pure message, let it enter into our hearts, go beyond the veneer covering this and that. All of that's in darkness anyways. Let us go to the light. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Jagannath Puri. This is speaking some of the glories of Jagannath Puri Dham. Of all the places, after his sannyas, of course it was by Mother Sachi's request, but we can understand that's transcendental lila. He came here to Jagannath Puri, and for the second half of his life, the remaining 24 years of his life, this was his residence. And after 6 years of extensive travel throughout the four directions within India, he made Jagannath Puri his absolute residence. He didn't go outside of Jagannath Puri for 18 years. There's some spiritual reason, some spiritual significance of this place. And Sri Purushottama Kshetra, where the Lord manifests the fullness of his opulences, as he does in Dwarka, Krishna manifests the fullness of his opulences. His Aishwarya feature is abundant. But there's something very special about this Sri Purushottam Kshetra that attracted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is going to be our topic of discussion. Sri Purushottam Kshetra is glorified in a number of the sacred scriptures, extensive renderings in Brahma Purana and Kurma Purana. In Skanda Purana, in the Sri Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya section, a very elaborate presentation is made, and that's where our focus is going to go this morning. I anticipate we won't get through the whole thing. It's so extensive. We'll continue part two this evening. The scene in Skanda Purana in Sri Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya begins with a scene where there were an assembly of sages headed by Jaimini Rishi. And during his narration, he was describing a place like we find description in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says there is one place that after the whole annihilation, cosmic annihilation, that part remains. He mentions the Jaimini Rishi was discussing the same topic and was going deeply into the subject matter. Said, within this created realm, there is a place that at the time of cosmic annihilation, it remains as it is. And that is so because it is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, it's called Sri Purusha Uttama Kshetra, the place of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He then describes to the sages the process of creation, and he describes Karna Dakshai Vishnu, who is filled with all potencies, material and spiritual, just by his will, By exhaling, he expanded countless numbers of universes. How powerful is Karnadakshay Vishnu. But still, the inert matter remained inactive, because without the touch of spirit, matter remains inactive. And so by his very powerful glance, Pashyanti Panti Kalyan Chiram Jaganti, just by his glance, he activated that inert matter by injecting his time energy and the living entities within that matter. And then, through the combination, because it is the destiny, the karma of those living entities to be in that situation, the arrangement was made for them to be mixed. And through contact with time energy and the karma of the living entities, the modes of nature became activated, the elements themselves became differentiated, and everything was arranged so that the second day of creation, the work of Lord Brahma, could begin. Karnadakshay Vishnu expanded as Garbhadakshay Vishnu within each of the universes, from his navel one lotus stem, atop of which was a lotus flower, atop of which was Lord Brahma, appeared by his divine arrangement. Jaimini Rishi went on to describe the inquisitive nature of Lord Brahma with his very powerful intellect and sanctified nature. Immediately, at once, began to inquire into the nature of the purpose of his existence. Where has he come from? What is he to do? From within his mind, the answers did not come. Same narration as we find elsewhere. He climbed down the stem, he heard the syllables tapa, he performed for thousands of years this tapa, and then he became enlightened. He performed his service of creating all the planetary systems and the various species of life just according to the plan of the Supreme Lord and the various positions of the living entities. Now, being the creator or chief engineer of the universe, Brahma very intricately understood the nature of the place. And he was feeling quite sorrowful, because he understood in a way that we're learning. It's simply a place of suffering. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. By design, so much suffering. The living entities, due to their karma, had been brought in contact with material nature. Brahma had to engineer the whole thing, but the whole thing that he engineered is nothing but suffering. Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Daivaka Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha. Turn in any direction and you find sufferings. And the foolish, bewildered nature of the living entity is he continues to implicate himself, involve himself with the material energy, hoping for happiness instead of getting suffering. He understood this perfectly well. So he was feeling pained at heart. So he meditated very intensely upon Lord Vishnu for a solution to this dilemma. Naturally, a good-hearted soul will be concerned in that way. And through his strong devotion and fervent appeal to Lord Vishnu, please provide a solution to this difficulty. Lord Vishnu appeared before him. Brahma offered his prayers and presented what Lord Vishnu understood already was his question. What can be done? Universal question. What can be done to help the living entities who are caught in the web of illusion with nothing but illusory happiness and suffering? What can be done? Lord Vishnu said, I have already manifested my own abode within this realm that you have created. And one who makes, by great fortune, comes in contact with that transcendental realm, will become freed from all material suffering and will become reestablished in their natural loving relationship with me. That place is Sri Purushottam Kshetra. Brahma, please go there. Experience that place yourself. You will find it north of the Southern Sea, south of the Mahanadi River, very near to the Kamravan Forest. There's a very tall mountain called Niladri. There you will find a form of myself along with Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Go, Lord Brahma, and experience that transcendental abode of mine. Then Lord Vishnu disappeared. Brahma was very happy. Such a place I must experience. So he came into this, it was described in the middle planetary region. So he came to this middle planetary region. And according to the instructions, the indication of the place, he followed and came to Utkal. This area where we are is Utkal. And he found the Mahanadi River. And he found Kamravan Forest. And he came to the place called Niladri Hill. And just as was described, he saw a very large, on top of the hill, very large kalpa vriksha tree on the east side of the kalpa vriksha tree was a large kund, Rohini Kund. And he saw a crow seated on the branch of the kalpa vriksha tree, and he went diving towards the water to gather some water in his beak. And as he touched the water, Lord Brahma saw at once that crow transformed into full-arm Vishnu form and ascended very gracefully into the spiritual world. Brahma understood he had found the place. Very near to the kalpa vriksha tree, he saw a temple, and within the temple were the deities of Nila Madhava and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. Lord Brahma prostrated himself before the deity. And while Brahma had experienced this amazing scene, Yamaraj also, from his own abode, he saw. And he came and he joined Lord Brahma. And because Yamaraj is one of the devas who assists in managing the affairs of creation, He expressed to Lord Brahma his anxiety. He was amazed at what he saw, but at the same time he has a duty to perform. And his duty to perform is to punish sinful living entities. But how am I to do my service in a place like this, where even a crow, a lowly, not just a bird, but amongst birds, crows are down. Swans are, and other birds, chakravaka birds and cuckoos, and very sweetly singing peacocks, very beautiful. But crows, you know, just like people have their, crows are low class. Even a crow, just by touching the water, Rohini Kund, achieve liberation. This is a great obstacle to my service. Overhearing the conversation, Nila Madhava smiled, and he turned to Lakshmi. Could you explain to Yamaraj? Lakshmi bowed her head and began to speak. She said, Lord Brahma and Yamaraj, in this place, no created being has any influence. This is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He rules. And this place is so glorious, this transcendental abode of the Supreme Lord, that anyone who simply comes to this abode and rests here for one night, some of us did that last night, it is equal to visiting all the holy places in the whole of creation. No, it's none different than the benefit that one gets from entering Maha Samadhi, the perfect stage of trance, just going to sleep. For those who walk, take one step, we've all taken more than one step, take one step in Sri Purukshottam Kshetra. And it is like circumambulating all the holy places and all the land. One who speaks, not qualifying, speak in this place, Purukshottam Kshetra. It is one receives the benefit from vibrating all of the sacred Vedas. Just speaking. One who eats, this is what Lakshmi says in Skanda Purana, even fish, we all eat something. Of course, we don't take this benediction literally, meaning we don't go do something like this, but one who receives the benefit of eating, of receiving the remnants of Havasham, the sacrifices offered in Vedic rituals. Yamaraj said, can you tell us more about this place that we've just come to, Sri Purushottam Kshetra? Lakshmi said, long ago in Satya Yuga, Markandeya Rishi came here. Before he came here, he was undergoing austerities way in Bhadrik Ashram, being very pleased by his austerities. Naranarayan Rishi came before him and wanted to offer a benediction to Markandeya Rishi. They said to the sage, because of the great qualification that you now have. You should live a long life. We give you the benediction that you will live a very long life. Now, supposing someone told you, a great sage, a great personality, just by their saying it, it would happen, that you would live a long life. Most people would be very happy, especially if we were qualified to live a long life. The benediction of Narayan Rishi was that he would live for 7 kalpas. A kalpa means one day of Brahma and one night of Brahma. So 4,320,000 years times 1,000 times 2, because this day and night are of equal duration. That's one kalpa. 7 kalpas. I mean, that's like 14 manus times 7. May you live a long life. And things were fine until the night of Brahma came. And when the night of Brahma came, it wasn't fine. It was very difficult. At the time of devastation, at the time of the night of Brahma, the lower planetary systems, including up to the heavenly planets, the whole creation is engulfed in water. And each of the waves in that water of devastation is itself devastating. Not just like a little calm lake or something. And there are aquatics of all descriptions who are very hungry. The description says the fish were coming and chasing after Markandeya Rishi like fish food. And how long can somebody swim? Even a good swimmer, how long can somebody swim? 4,320,000 years times 1,000. It's a long swim. And what do you eat? And where do you rest? What to do? It was very difficult. He would sometimes lie unconscious in the water of devastation, sometimes by the waves, being tossed way in the air, and then tossed down again, and up again, with no shelter, no boat, no land, just waters of devastation. It was more than distressful. It was inhuman to be able to survive. Ordinary nor living entity will survive, but because of the statement of Narayan Rishi, he was surviving somehow. And then he saw in the distance an island with a large banyan tree. And so he, with whatever strength he had, he made effort to try to go towards the island, and the crashing of the waves would push him back, and slowly he made his way closer to the island and could see a small child of bluish complexion in a baby-like form lying on his back on a large banyan leaf. And just to see the form of that bluish child, Lord Krishna, all of his distress, anxiety, tribulation, it just vanished. Lord Krishna turned his head from his back and looked at Markandeya Rishi and smiled. Then he took his left foot in his right hand and bent his foot towards his mouth and started sucking his toe. Then again he turned to Markandeya Rishi and suddenly inhaled. And Markandeya Rishi, with the force of wind, was drawn within the mouth of Lord Krishna and found himself inside the body of Lord Krishna. So what does one find inside the body of Lord Krishna? He saw the 14 planetary systems, the whole of the cosmic manifestation, including all the elements inside the body of Lord Krishna. The inventory is presented. Everything, the sky, the land, the seas, the planetary systems, all varieties of trees, animals, living entities, demigods, stars, suns, the whole cosmic manifestation, just like Arjuna seeing the universal form. It's pretty amazing. And then as suddenly as he was drawn into that situation, Krishna exhaled and there he was again in the water of devastation, swimming around. He just called Krishna's name. He was then drawn to the shore. Now we find a similar description like this when we were just in Mayapur at the place Surabhi Kunj. Those of you that were in Mayapur. And the understanding is that these abodes of the Lord have their non-different from one another. There are certain features of the personality of Godhead's manifest dham that's non-different, although variously manifested externally, spiritually named different. So Krishna indicated to Markandeya Rishi that this is my eternal abode. You just stay here until the period of devastation ends, and then you can make this your residence afterwards if you like. But stay here and you'll be safe. So he remained, and after some time, the waters of devastation subsided. He remained here for some time, engaged in austerities, meditating on Lord Krishna constantly. Lord Shiva recognized the position that Markandeya Rishi was in, and he wanted to come and give him a benediction. And it didn't prove to be as problematic as the one that Narayan Rishi gave him. And he came. Markandeya Rishi was absorbed in meditation upon that beautiful form of the child Krishna that he had seen. He was in trance. So Lord Shiva decided that he would enter into the heart of Markandeya Rishi, and then that way he would see him. So Markandeya Rishi then suddenly saw Lord Shiva. He was startled. And he opened his eyes, and there was Lord Shiva standing before him. And Lord Shiva said, "You have pleased me very much by your austerities and your devotion to the Lord. Please accept me from me some benediction. What is it that you would like?" Because he was a great devotee, Markandeya Rishi had no interest in anything material. He had no interest in anything mystical, which is just an extension of the material energy. He had no desire even for liberation from his circumstance. Rather, he offered his prayer, "Let me always be engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord in the association of such great devotees as yourself." Lord Shiva describes like this. When asked by, or asked what is the best form of worship, what pleases him the most, those who are my devotees, they please me very much. But those who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're even more dear to me. And those who worship the devotees of the Lord, they are the most dear. So Markandeya Rishi prayed for that benediction from Lord Shiva. And so there is a place here in Sri Purukshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, in Jagannath Puri, a place where Markandeya Rishi engaged in his meditations upon Krishna and his worshipping of Lord Shiva. That place is called Markandeshwara Shiva. I believe we're going to pass by there in the course of our being here. It's right by Markandeya Sarovara. Markandeya received this place to worship, and after some time over the years, this deity and his kund has been established by the devotees of the Lord here. Yamaraj, who was hearing this whole discussion, he also became very inspired hearing what happened with Markandeya Rishi. So he also made a place where he was worshipping Lord Shiva. This is right near the Tota Gopinath temple, Yameshwara Mahadev, where he continues to worship the Supreme Lord in that, and through the medium of Lord Shiva and his Yameshwara Shiva. End of part one. What comes next is Lakshmi speaks further about Sri Purukshottam Kshetra. Need microphone?